Greg and Kelly, they're getting ready to go to another church called Advent Presbyterian Church. They're part of the church still. We're connected. We will be connected with them because the church is a big place. We're staying in the kingdom. We're just ministering in different places. And I want to encourage you, as you hear Greg and Kelly today, just to let God stir in your own heart. I'm excited that we hold people with an open hand here, and God's not done. God's not done. Would you put your hands together and greet Greg and Kelly as they come and share with us this morning?
Okay. Here we go. Well, as we said in first service, today's an extraordinary day. Not for the reasons that you think, the obvious one of us going to Tennessee, but it's the first time you've ever seen me with my shirt tucked in. So I hope that you all cherish this moment. Thank you. First sermon I ever preached here, I believe I was in a short sleeve blue shirt and khaki shorts. It's been quite an upgrade, and I hope you guys appreciate that. They call it power dressing, right? So the, we want to save the best for last for you guys, so I'm going to go ahead and speak first and share some final thoughts and reflections for you guys and let my wife bring us home. But the purpose of this message is to give some parting thoughts on what I've learned during my time here and to give you my heart and what I desire to see in this congregation. And since Kelly and I are both sharing this morning, I just want to get right into this. The first thing I want to say to you all is that growth happens in an unseen way. So maybe I can start from our beginning here about four and a half years ago. And I think the best way to do that would be to start with this photo here. Do you recognize those young whippersnappers there? So isn't it incredible? You're welcome, I see. Isn't it incredible how the youth have grown in the last 4 years? Actually, this photo was taken in 2014. Only been 3 years. And now Daniel in the front picture there is about 7.5 feet tall. Jonah's taller than me, and Joel keeps getting smarter. So everything's good there. But even 2 years ago, a photo I took with the youth group is proof that I was taller than every kid in the youth group. And now that's really hard to believe if you see me standing next to these guys. And as I was saying earlier, it's really hard to have any authority anymore when you're looking up at the kids and saying, "You listen to me, young man." So. But growth happens so fast. And the unusual thing about growth is that it is almost always revealed in hindsight. This reminds me of Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read a small passage to you. Verses 26 through 27, Jesus said this. "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how." Now, although this passage obviously is about the kingdom of God and how it grows without us even realizing it, I think the same is true about our maturity as Christians. I like how one translation, one of my favorites, the Hawaiian Pidgin translation, puts this passage in verse 27, and I'll try my best Hawaiian accent to go with it. It says, "Night and day, no matter de farm asleep or get up, de plant gonna poke de head up from de ground and gonna grow, even if de guy don't know how." You know, I see a connection here between our growth and the kingdom's growth. The kingdom's growth is not just something we see all around us, but also within us. The kingdom of God, in my understanding, means God's way of doing things. It's His rule. And since I serve God, then I can only, by a logical inference, say that if I serve God, then God can do things His way in my life too. And many times my growth has been just like that farmer, where it's happening or has already happened, and I don't know how. Take my language learning journey, for example. 2 years ago, I couldn't speak any Spanish, with the exception of a few survival phrases I learned in middle school. But somewhere along the way, it's like it just hit me out of nowhere. I was able to carry a conversation and hold my own by the grace of God. 2 years ago, Mark Peterson and I started meeting up at Starbucks to speak Spanish. And we hit about 20, 25 minutes and then realized we were completely drained and we'd have to go home, take a nap, and then restart our day. But somewhere along the line, during those 2 years, an hour and a half, many times 2 hours pass of us chatting away in Spanish, and you don't even realize how you got there, but you're there. I think this is why the virtues that the Holy Spirit gives us are called fruit of the Spirit. They are agricultural terms because agricultural growth is slow growth. Agricultural growth happens without you actually seeing it. You can plant a garden and stare at it, but chances are you're probably not going to see your garden actually produce anything right before your eyes. We're like the farmer in Mark 4, where it just sort of happens. Now that Kelly and I are leaving for Memphis, Tennessee, some of that fruit is starting to reveal itself to us that we couldn't otherwise see. And I want to try to explain them to you and hope that they reveal to you the fruit that is already here in the garden of FCC in my own life because of this church. Here we go. Number one is this. Leaving is supposed to be a terrible time where everybody is mad at you. Leaving is never a good thing. More than what most people are aware of, this time has actually been a process of healing for me personally. I've always assumed that leaving a church was a bad thing, and you actually had to find reasons to be mad at the church in order to justify leaving it. I think this is why people who leave the church without being sent by the church never return to the church. By and large, we've received nothing more than a deep and beautiful love from all of you. You know how to grieve with us, and we're grieving. You know how to be hospitable to us in this process, and you make it easy to come back. And we really feel sent by you. And this process actually doesn't seem like an awkward one. And it truly lets me know that Kelly and I will actually come back and visit this church because we are loved here and we're sent out like missionaries. Number two, and this is more of a funny confession than anything, I've learned to not be intimidated by people older than me, which is almost all of you. Even more so in first service. I'm leaving. I can say whatever I want. When Kelly and I first came to this church, we noticed what was then a predominantly older congregation, and I was intimidated. We came from a church that had a much younger congregation, and we stayed away from older folks, and they stayed away from us. But this intimidation faded over the years for a few reasons. Number one, this church is so generous and hospitable that it welcomes all who enter. Number two, and the first people to ever speak to me at this church and make me feel welcome were quite a bit older than me. And the third one, we have to know each other for you to understand this personally. You guys are just as weird as I am. And so as it turns out, we're pretty alike. We just happen to look different and be different ages. More than anything, I don't know if many 28-year-olds can say that the majority of their friends are 50 years old and older. And that is a huge privilege to me as the American church continuously wrestles with bridging what they sense to be a divide between young and old. This leads me to my third point. I have been learning that love is the highest goal. Of course, I'm not perfect at this, which is why I will call it a learning process. I noticed that once Joe Voss became our pastor here, people started telling each other more and more that they loved each other. I attribute this mainly to our pastor, Joe, who from the first day he met me, this time was supposed to be easier than the first time. From the first time he met me, he has never ceased to tell me that he loves me. And the first time he called me and we were planning a dinner date, the four of us, he told me he loved me, and that was really weird. So I took everything I had, being the kind of introverted person I am, to muster out in a mumbled breath that I loved him too. But over time, he proved to be a man of his word. And that has been contagious to the rest of us as more and more we share that same love. I've been learning that there is nothing more important than to love others in the truth of Christ. This has been modeled to me in an amazing way the last 4 years here. No matter how you study the scriptures or how much knowledge you attain, there were many moments in my life where everything always seemed to boil down to loving God and loving others. And it's an honor to say that out of all the gifts that a church can share to build up the body of Christ, why not share the most valuable one? Love. And lastly, I'll call these my parting shots. Things that I have a huge desire and hardwiring in myself by God that I desire to see in this church and worldwide. I desire to see others have a love for wisdom, the scriptures, and evangelism more than I do. Ever since I can remember, I've prayed for wisdom. It's interesting in the book of Genesis that when Noah was given all the instructions to build the ark, he was never given the instructions to build rudders or oars to guide it. I have learned that wisdom is the guide. God's wisdom is the ability to navigate through life and all of its peculiar situations by the grace of God. As I've prayed almost daily for God's wisdom for years and years now, I've learned a lot, but not always the easy way. But on the other hand, I've seen God's wisdom work its way through difficult conversations, through hostile situations. I've even seen God's wisdom rescue others from harming themselves. If there is ever a time for wisdom, it is always right now. And God is eager to grant it to His children. Along with wisdom, I have a huge longing in my heart for the church worldwide to become students of the Scriptures. I remember the first bright baby blue, heavy-weighted, precious moments Bible I ever received from my parents. They have the little babies on them with the ginormous heads. And with a highlighter, day after day, I must have highlighted every page from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, thank you. We got a whole box right here. I'm sloppy. You know, it actually turns out, as I was thinking in between services, to me not actually highlighting the whole Bible, it's just the highlighting bled through the thin pages. So I got about 50%. The highlighter did the other 50. But I must have highlighted every page from front to back as the Holy Spirit was teaching me about God's character and what He is like. And I was forever captivated by His Word. And I can't imagine going a day without reading the Scriptures. I desperately long for a time when all of God's body studies the Scriptures, searches them out for the life, the mystery, the wisdom, and the power that they hold. Lastly, I almost have to say this as a discipleship pastor. I believe the Lord has called us all as missionaries in a sense to shine our light into darkness, sharing the love, grace, and rescue of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we have to go overseas, although you can. It can start in the home, at school, in the workplace. I used to be terrified of evangelism until I was freed from all my assumptions and fears about it. And I believe that God can free, He can free anyone who feels like I did. The psalmist says, and he puts it so simply, he'll sing and talk about God all day long, every day, because of the joy of the Lord. When you're that happy about God, evangelism is really easy. Other simple ways of evangelism, I've found that natural connections with others or blessing others to be such an organic way for God to soften the hearts of others. God has created us from the beginning as people on mission. And I hope for Christianity to never privatize itself and to continue on that mission by the grace of God. I love you guys. Thank you.
Okay, it's my turn. So I'll probably repeat a few of the same things. Well, I will repeat a few of the same things Greg said, but I'll do it in my own words. So, but for my parting words, I wanted to share what FCC has given me. And what you guys as a church have taught me. The first thing that always comes to my mind are the friendships that we've made here. Like Greg said, this place is so unique in that there are all ages worshiping together, teaching each other. And I think that's one of the things that drew Greg and I to this church was we walked in and there wasn't a separate service for the young adults, for people under 30, but we all worship together. And that is something so beautiful, and that just captivates my heart. And it's something that I've been so blessed by. some of my dearest friends here are people twice my age, and I love that. We've learned so much from all of you, and I think that you've probably learned a thing or two from us as well. But this church has also taught me how to love deeper. We are so blessed to have a pastor that embodies that spirit of love, that teaches us how to love one another, not only through words, but through actions, and to go on and do that for people outside of our church as well. And something that I love about this church is every time I walk through those doors, I will know that I will hear the words, "I love you," way more than once. I just expect it now. And that's just who we are. We're a people that love each other. And that is so beautiful and so sacred. And something unique to me that I have learned here, FCC has provided a place for me, a safe place to learn how to be a pastor. And not many people my age or even my gender get that opportunity. I've been a youth leader for about 7 or 8 years now, and it's been great. But FCC has, for 2 years now, almost 2 years, I've been the pastor here, and it has been an honor, and I couldn't have asked for a better place to work, a place so full of encouragement and support, just always being lifted up and never being torn down by the people here. I'm so thankful for that. August 30th would have been my two-year mark as being on staff at FCC. So I almost made 2 years, but that's okay. I'll count it. being on staff here, it's taught me how to deal with hard situations, like the first retreat I took the youth on. It was infested with bed bugs. It's taught me how to get out of those hard situations, make the best of it. No one got bed bugs, by the way. Thank God. It's taught me how to plan and organize big events, and just how to be a pastor in general, how to love and to care, to guide and to help grow, all in an encouraging and supportive environment. And I know that becoming the youth pastor and having this place, a safe place to learn and develop that gift, is unique to me. But something that FCC is so amazing about is this church gives everyone an opportunity to be a leader. And a big way to do that is through faith groups. Greg has created a space for all of us to step up and be a leader. You can start a group, whether it's getting together with other people to knit, or whether it's going through the Bible, doing a word-by-word in-depth study, whatever it is, this is a safe place to step up and be a leader and lead a group. And also something really unique that I love about this church is the JOLT classes. And so many of you have stepped up and taught a class, and I am so proud to see all of you succeed and just become amazing teachers. And finally, what FCC has given me, and so many of us here, is a home. For as long as Gregory and I have been married, this has been our home. And this is the only church we've known as a married couple. And it's been a major blessing to both of us. The last 4.5 years that we've been here, we've grown, and we owe a lot of that to all of you guys. We've come to you in times of need, in hard times, when we needed your emotional support. And many of you have come to us when you are going through hard times. We've also come to you in celebration, and we've celebrated with you guys your joys and triumphs, like a family should. So, family is forever. And you guys have become our family. And we love you so much. So, while my experience here at FCC has been my own, the friendships, the love that I've grown, the leadership abilities that I've grown, and the family that I've experienced, I don't think that it's unique. I believe that everyone can experience these things that I have. And I believe that the way it happens is through involvement in the church. Whether it's joining the men's breakfast or the women's breakfast or joining a faith group or going to one of the many events that we have here. I know that our lives get busy. We're busy people, and it's hard to get involved. It's hard to give up a weeknight when you've been working all day, or it's hard to get up early on a Saturday when all you want to do is sleep in. I know that. But there are so many more important things to our life than work and sleep. Though sleep is very important, I know that. But this church gives us these things. Us as a community, we show each other that. And I deeply desire for all of you to experience what I have experienced here. The love and the family and the growth that I have experienced. So I can say, if you're only coming on Sunday mornings, you're missing out on something truly, truly amazing. Don't let busyness get in the way of this beautiful and sacred place that so many of us call home. So like Gregory said, we will be back, and we're excited for our future together, Greg and I, and to continue our relationships with you all. But before we move on with the service, I would like to introduce you guys to some people. But first, a story or a little introduction. So one of the most popular game we play in youth group centers around these flashlights. I'm sure you youth recognize them. It's called Gargons. And what we do is we take the flashlight apart and we hide the pieces all over the church. And you have to find the pieces and put the flashlight together while the Gargons are stopping them from doing so. When the pieces are found and the youth put them back together, and the beam will search out the Gargons, and the Gargons will be defeated and the youth will win. Sometimes the Gargons win, though. It just depends. But these flashlights, they have become a symbol to myself and to the youth that there is victory in the light. Although the youth at one point got a little flashlight that they're supposed to carry around to remind them of that. But these flashlights represent that the light that shines from us is powerful and it's life-changing and it defeats the darkness. So I am literally going to pass the torches to our new youth team leaders. FCC, please welcome to the stage Frank Garcia and Janie Miato. So a lot of prayer and deliberation has gone into this decision. The elders and Pastor Joe and I landed on these two to take over the youth group, to step in as interims until we find something more permanent. But we all know how interiming can go. We'll see. Whatever God wants. So Jeannie and Frank will be working alongside of each other. And I truly, truly believe that they will take RSM to the place, a new place, a place that I wasn't able to. And I'm so excited for them and for the youth group. A lot of you know Jeannie. Frank usually goes to first service, but a few of you guys know him. But Jeannie has been with our youth for a while now. And she's been my friend longer than she has been at the youth group. But she leads the girls' faith group. So not only does she know the workings of youth, she knows all of the youth, their hobbies, what they're like, what they struggle with, but she's also an amazing teacher. I first asked Jeannie to join the youth group to be a youth leader because I knew her mothering heart, how she desired to be a mom. And I told her she can just go ahead and be one already to our kids. So, and she has been. She is such a blessing to me and to our youth. And I feel so much peace about her coming in and taking our little students under her wings. Sorry, you're not little. I picture you as hens, like little chickens, but okay. So yeah, I'm excited. And then Frank, I'm also so excited about welcoming Frank onto our youth team. He has over 20 years of experience. We did the math the other day, and I think it was around 27. I don't know. But and he was actually Greg's youth pastor, and Isaac's, and Sean's, and Micah's. And look at how well they turned out. It's so good. Yeah. Yeah, Frank is so fun and energetic, and he has such an amazing heart. And I have complete confidence in handing our youth over to him. I just feel so much peace. When we were praying for a youth leader, I was worried and scared, and I didn't want to give our youth to people that I didn't know. But when we decided on Frank and Jeannie, when they came into our minds, there's just so much peace. And I'm so thankful for them. And I know they're going to take care of our students. The name of these two. Okay, but yeah. So yeah, God loves our students so much more than we do. And he's going to take care of all of us, no matter who our leaders are. So, what I would like to do now is I'd like to invite you all to come up. We're going to pray for these two and just give them our blessing and pray for God's blessing over them. So if you'd like to come forward now, or you can stay in your seats, it's whatever. But Lord, we thank you for Frank and for Jeannie. We thank you for their hearts, that they are fully after you, that they seek to know you better, and that they seek to guide the youth to know you better. God, I trust these two with all of my heart, with my kids. And God, I know your blessing is upon them. So God, we give them our blessing. We ask for your wisdom over them. We ask for your knowledge, for your peace, and your strength. God, guide them in this transition, and however long they'll be with the youth, let them give the youth their peace. Let love overflow from them onto the youth, and let them show the youth your love. God, once again, I thank you so much for these two. And I'm so excited to see how they develop the youth and the youth group and the program. And we thank you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray for Greg and Kelly as well. Father, we thank you for this couple. And they have left their fingerprints on us. They will always be with us. And Lord, we pray that we will always be with them. And in this ministry that you have opened up to them, Lord, it's opportunities that they really can't measure yet. But I am overwhelmed by their openness and their willingness and their availability to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want from us. They are servants of the Most High God. And Father, I know that's a little bit of a sacrifice to make this move. But Lord, you're going to bless them. And you're going to bless Advent Church. And you're going to bless Faith Community. And you're going to bless our families. And we release them to you. We know, Father, that they're in your hands. You have carved their names there. You are holding on tight to them, and their steps are being ordered by you. And we are blessed. And we pray they'll be blessed too. Lord, we love you. We love each other. It is the covering over this body. Thank you that you have used this couple to teach us, to show us new ways, to even show us how this works. Lord, they have set the benchmark for us, and we love them. We love them dearly. But we release them into your care in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to ask Greg and Kelly to step down front. They're going to serve communion to us as we bring our service to a close one last time. It's going to take a little time because we want them to do it themselves. So be patient as you come through the line. But we want them. We want to be able just one more time receive from them. I love them. I used to always tease Kelly as a youth pastor. I'd never seen anybody have all the experience she did. She described them. I remember that trip to Salina the first time out of the chute. I couldn't believe it. And then to be in a place that was infested with bed bugs. I never forget that. And then what was the next year? The bus broke down out in the middle of Kansas, right? Hey, this year it was uneventful, wasn't it? Pretty much it was. Just a few little things, y'all. It's just getting better. You might be leaving too soon. But I was always amazed at how she responded to these situations and with great grace. And, oh, boy, did we learn a lot. So I personally, I didn't see it coming, but this couple has changed me a little bit. And the things that every week, meeting one-on-one, I always walked away receiving something in my heart, and I'm going to miss that. And I hope that was a two-way street. So we'd like for you to actually step out center ways. So we're going to have one line today as you come, as you dip the bread into the cup. Remember God's faithfulness to us. Amen. Even in this, God has a plan, and we're all part of it.